I am, as people know me, I'm Robert the Redeemed, and I'm glad to be here. And the reason I call myself Robert the Redeemed is not out of vanity, but God has made me look so good that I have to call myself redeemed to let people know how I used to look and how I used to be. And so as a result of that, I have all of these records and things that need to be redeemed. This is an album, As For My House, featuring Rick and Kathy Risso. I heard this like 20 years ago. I haven't heard it since. But this couple was from the Church on the Way in Van Nuys. And if somebody would like to have this first one there. Secondly, I have this book. And this is By His Spirit by William Barclay, a mighty man of God. This is a copy written in 1974. I haven't read it in many years. But as I looked at it this morning, took it off my bookshelf, I decided to open it up to today's date. It's a daily devotional. And it's called Lippin. In the broad Scottish translation of John 3:16, in that familiar passage, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, the word believeth appears as lippens. Lippen in the Scottish means to throw your whole weight upon. This was Stephen's experience when he was in the synagogue, where the Libertines, Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and others disputed him. Apparently, none of the other disciples were with him. He faced the disputants alone. Yet not alone, for God's Spirit was with him. Stephen lippened. He believed in Jesus with all his heart. Surrounded by scoffers and fault finders, he threw his whole weight upon God. God did not fail him. He gave Stephen the wisdom of heaven to meet the arguments of his opponents. The results were obvious. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. Who indeed can resist, bring arguments to bear that would refute the wisdom of God? He who tries endangers his spiritual welfare. God's Spirit gave Stephen the words to speak that would refute the arguments of those who opposed him. When he spoke, it was with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and his voice was soft and sweet and kind, yet firm in the knowledge that he was speaking for God. If only those who listened to Stephen that day had yielded to the Spirit, the outcome might have been different. Instead of stirring up agencies that brought about Stephen's death, they might have joined him in his great work. But they did not lippen, throw their whole weight upon God. They were not able to refute the wisdom of God, but resisted his Spirit and brought blood on their heads. In the trials that will come to God's people in the last days, and they will come as surely as they came to Stephen, let us lippen to God and his truth. Let us fill our hearts with his wisdom. The source is available to all. His book is filled with the wisdom we need. A little time spent with it each day will help us learn his wisdom. So I thought that was a really good book and a message for the message we're bringing today. Somebody would like this book? Yes. I think it's a good one for Scott. He's a leader. I think it's a good leader's book. Okay, right at this moment, I'd like to introduce my better half, my wife, Marcia.
Good morning. I love this room. I love that. It's so uplifting to have that in the middle of the room. When I was thinking about this morning and our topic, I went back to something that we've been talking about, and about the chicks in the shells, the eggs that the man who found the clutch of turkey eggs and began to to put them in an incubator and raise them, and how inside the shell the little chicks begin to peep, and he peeped back to them. So there was this language going on while they were still inside their shell. And I think of, in terms of the Holy Spirit and the ministry that Robert and I have done, the prayer ministry, there is a lot of opportunity to witness that moment when people begin to break through the shell, because it's the Holy Spirit that calls you. It's the Holy Spirit that begins to, you know, push and energize you to break out and reach into the world of the divine, which is what is outside of the shell. And so we had many opportunities to see that. And interestingly enough, people did not always respond in the same way. They did not all pop out of the shell and go, "Oh, this is great." They frequently popped out of the shell and went, "Where am I? I don't know if I like this. I don't know if this is comfortable or not. Oh, there's so much light." You know, I mean, not comfortable, not feeling like they're in a familiar place. And it is a difficult transition, I think, that we make throughout our whole life. It is, as Christians, we have a greater awareness of what is happening in that dynamic, that we are in a shell, that we start out that way. I think for many people, particularly non-Christians, may never make it out of the shell. They may be there the whole time going, "Aren't I a great-looking shell? I mean, I'm blue, or I'm big, or I'm strong," or whatever it is, you know, but the whole focus is on that outer sort of edifice that they're living inside of, not really looking in here. But really, we are two identities. We are that outer one, and then more importantly, we are the soul. We are the inner identity, the eternal identity, the one that really matters. And oftentimes, we don't understand the circumstances of our life because of that. Because God, and particularly through the agency, the Lord and the Holy Spirit, is trying to nurture and strengthen the soul, not the shell. We can get over-focused on the shell. Start, "Oh, there's a hole in the shell. Let's fill that in. Let's, you know, let's paint over that. Let's make that shell look shiny." You know, whereas God is giving us, the Lord is giving us circumstances that break that down. One of the most best examples of that for me is Paul. I think of Paul as a person who lost his shell in one big swoop, one fell swoop on Damascus Road. His shell was totally broken off. And his reaction to, he's strengthened, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he's not afraid, but the light is suddenly so bright for him, he's blinded, because he's going from the protection of being inside and, you know, not being protected, and all of a sudden there he is, exposed to complete light, and it blinds him until the Lord sends someone to heal his eyes, remove the scales, and bring him into sight. But when he regains his sight, he regains spiritual sight as well. He regains a greater vision of his life and where his life is meant to go. I also see this example in the crucifixion. The two guys who are being crucified with Christ. One of them is saying, well, if you're the Christ, change these circumstances. I don't like this. I don't want to be crucified. Change it. The other guy is saying, if you're the Christ, I just want to be with you. And we know which one is immediately answered by Jesus. You will be with me today in heaven. So that's I think we're always in that duality. We're always stuck there between change this. I'm not happy with these circumstances. This isn't the way I wanted it to go. Versus, I just want to be with you. I just want your presence. And then I'll handle it. You know, we'll deal with it. I'll trust you. I'll put my faith in you. That isn't always easy to do. A lot of times, what the Lord's vision is eternal, and he's seeing that the hardships we go through are really important to the formation of our soul, our character. And we need to go through those. Because when this outer part dies, the inner soul has to be strong enough to rise and go to heaven, to continue to live. And so a lot of times, if you think back in your life, it's the difficulties you've gone through that have made you strong, that have sort of built your ability to deal with things that happen to you. So the Lord can see that in the long view, which is hard for us. I just heard a few days ago on NPR. Have you heard anything about the ice bucket challenge? These people dumping ice on them, and you know what that's about? Is this young guy, early 20s, he was the athlete of his family. He got hit by a baseball in the wrist, and his hand kind of collapsed. And he went for about 6 months. He went to different doctors, and nobody could figure out what the problem was. And then I was getting this testimony from his mother on the radio, and she was saying, finally he called them up and said, can you meet with the doctor? He wants to meet with my parents and me. We're going to find out what's wrong with my wrist. So they go in there, and the doctor starts as well, it isn't broken, it isn't sprained, da da da. And then he says, I never thought I would say this to someone so young, but what you have is ALS. I mean, that's a big shock, you know, for somebody who's early 20s. And immediately, though, she said, he stood up and said, okay, we're going to have a family meeting. So they called the other brothers and sisters, and everybody comes, and they're all assembled at the home, and their son stands up and he says, I don't want any pity, I don't want any sympathy, I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I believe I've been chosen for this fight. I've been chosen for this fight with ALS, and it's going to be important. And I'm going to throw myself into this. I thought, whoa, I don't know why. That's really amazing. And out of that came this ice bucket challenge of people dumping ice on themselves and donations, charitable, the awareness of it, and charitable donations. And as of last week, they had raised over of $250 million through that for ALS. He's currently almost completely paralyzed at a later stage, but still fighting and not questioning. Now, she didn't directly say that they were Christians, but I think they are. I mean, from hearing this positive faith, I believe that they are. She did say that they were attending church, so that's another. But she didn't say, oh, you know, as Christians we're doing this. She said, as people who care about all people, we are doing this. And we are not seeing it as a defeat. We are seeing it as a victory. And I think that's the call to us in our prayer times, in our times with the Lord, that we are able to get past the, I don't like what's happening, change this, make it different, to, I just want to be with you. I just want a greater understanding of what I'm supposed to do, what you want for me. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the beauty of having the Holy Spirit with us as a counselor, as a comforter and friend, is that the Holy Spirit is right there waiting for you to say that, waiting for you. And I believe when Jesus says to the other guy, you will be with me today in heaven, that's the response we're always going to receive when we say that. When we are able, no matter what our circumstances, to say, I just want to be with you. I just want to continue my journey. And the sooner we're able to break out of our shell, the sooner we become more actualized in the world, I believe, more able to be a servant of the Lord, more able to help others, more able to bring greater light into the world. And there's just so many people I can think of, and I know you can, who seem to be more out of their shell, or seem to be more, you know, I was thinking of Jimmy Carter this week because the prognosis of cancer, and his response to that was so positive, and all the things that he has done for people in the world. He's a very actualized man. He's a person, I think, who's been out of the shell for quite a while. And sees, the more you're out, the greater your vision, the more you're able to realize what God is doing and what the Lord wants to do for the people and for the situations that you are called into. So it's sometimes it's sometimes a temptation to sort of sit and think, oh, isn't this awful? And, you know, we'll all just retreat into it. And everybody does that. But the less you do that, I think, the more you're able to reach out to the Holy Spirit, the more the shell drops away. The more you are energized by the light, energized by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we got to watch people in the prayer ministry, people we trained, go from, I don't like this, I feel exposed, I'm not comfortable, I'm not going to do this anymore, to a few years later having ministries that were spanning the world. Because they kept going. The presence of the Holy Spirit gave them the strength to keep going, to keep pushing the shell and coming out into what God had for them. It's tricky. It isn't always simple. It isn't always like what you think is going to happen happens. It's usually the opposite. What you hope doesn't happen happens a lot of the time. But it's that continual, okay, this happened. What do you want me to do? I'm going to do it with you. And sort of stepping through that self-conscious or or uncomfortable part, where you don't feel like, you know, it's you're looking your best. You probably don't, but it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. What matters is your choice to thank the Lord for whatever it is. Praise the Lord for whatever it is, because that's how grace operates. Then the Lord is able to bless you with favor. And you're able to continue moving towards what His plan is for your life. And it's different for every one of us, which makes it trickier, but also more interesting, probably.
This is really an answer to God's prayer. I mean, my prayer to God, because I got enough notes here for I could preach for an hour. Trying to get into this message, I got like an hour's worth of notes, and I'm going to do it in 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So I got 2 or 3 minutes to do it. So where we're going to go on this is that the testimonies I heard this morning about how, you know, one person's lonely and they seek God and then they find relationship and these things are gone, how God provides for it. And in His Word, I don't know if time to read it, but in John 14, 16, it's, you haven't got it back there. I've got so many, I gave Him so many scriptures, I doubt if I use any of them. And Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, and He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And the time I have to confess this, the Holy Spirit, I remember when I'd be listening to worship and the Holy Spirit would come. We'd be praying and the Holy Spirit would come. And I remember at the beginning, I would sit there and saying, "Oh God, I'm so bad. I'm not good enough to be here." I would have all of this. As an early Christian, I'd be reminded of all of my faults and all of my sins. And then the Holy Spirit would come and I would start believing I'm forgiven. And I did. I started understanding what grace was about. Started living in His grace. And I started feeling really good. Oh, wow. That's good. I am forgiven. That's true. I am forgiven. Then after a while and taking some classes and getting a degree, becoming a pastor, I'd sit there. We'd have the worship would be going on. And I'd be sitting there thinking, "Man, I don't like the way they're singing that song. They could be doing that worship better, being a worship leader. Or I don't like the way that guy's preaching. I don't like the things he's saying. Oh, he could be saying that better." Or be in a prayer circle saying, I don't know. There's too much silence here. I got to speak out." And I'd find myself doing all of those things. And the Lord was trying to show me, "Robert, stop comparing yourself with other people. Stop judging other people. I want you to forgive other people as I've forgiven you." So that's the purpose of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on us. You have two reactions. You can either feel thanksgiving. "Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for renewing me." Or you can have judgment. You can start criticizing the messenger. And I tell you what, I see this a lot in Christian circles. People feeling that they need to control the group. "Well, I don't know if this is right. I think they should hear this. This is what I would do." Man, we got to give up that spirit of control. We have to release that and trust the Holy Spirit. Amen? And only the Holy Spirit can do that in us. So what I'm going to ask you to do now is stand up. We got about 3 minutes. And I'd like to invite Irene to come up and to the keyboards. And what we're going to do, because the Lord can do this in 30 seconds, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what He died for in your life. I want Him to personalize it for you in a way that goes really deep. I want you to do that, and then I want you to give it to Him. Because the Lord wants to bring us out of that shell of self-judgment and condemnation. He wants to bring us into a peace and a freedom and a love that will bring us all together. Bow your heads. Father, we just praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Father, this is a job for Jesus. We ask You, Holy Spirit, to come and touch each one of us, to show us that part of the shell that is obstructing us from Your love. Come now. word says there's therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that you've given us. Your word says, Father, that we give thanks in all word or deed, no matter what, to the glory of Jesus Christ, to his Father, and to the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you with grateful hearts. Thank you. Dan, why don't you put the lyric up? Let's sing this. Said to sing hymns and songs and give thanks and admonish one another, encourage one another, edify one another, that the love of God brings us together. It cements us together as a person, brings our soul and our spirit together as one, God's love, and with each other. Thanks. That's all he wants. Praise God. Amen. 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 Lord bless us today.